Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. As always, with me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, nothing much, man. The world of professional wrestling is heating up. We're 30-some days away from WrestleMania, and I'm excited. How about you? I'm really excited.
Yeah, I am too, actually. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to it. But before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, you can always catch us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you get your social media. Just search Wrestling Marks of Excellence. I'll go ahead and hit that subscribe button, that bell notification. Leave us a 5-star review, and you'll never miss any of our shows. Man, but let's get to this past Monday Night Raw, where I want to start at the end of Monday Night Raw. You was there in Philly from this past Monday night, and we want to start at the end. The Ronda Rousey segment with Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. Watching it on TV, it seemed like the crowd really popped when as Ronda made her heel turn, or you would her shift, as you will. And I want to call it a double turn because I think Becky really became a full face at that moment as well. What was the crowd like? On TV, it came off well.
It was exactly what you saw. For me, it was more so of an about-time feeling because it was kind of like, okay, you keep teeter-tottering with this Ronda thing, and then you finally do it. So I was glad they finally did it. But it was received the way it was supposed to be. So it'll be interesting because, you know, we'll see how the rest of the towns go with it. So we're in for a while in the next couple of weeks.
We are, man. But like I said, I feel if Philly received it, then anybody else is going to receive it as well. Because I think it's a measuring stick in Philly. And, you know, when we talk about measuring stick, I know I started at the end, but even when Roman Reigns came out in Philly, you know, one of the few last couple of times he was in Philly, they booed him out the arena, you know. And this time they cheered him. You know, you might have heard a couple guys trying to still keep the boo going, but they're not going to boo that guy.
No, they're not.
You know, I think WWE is doing a good job the way they're playing it now, not throwing him into the title picture. Letting him and Seth Rollins bring the band back together because it hit the reset button on the Shield. If you go back and look at it before he died, his leukemia came back and the Shield was getting ready to go on a good little run and they was going to break up around this time. The Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose thing had to get accelerated because of Roman getting sick. So, you know, it's good to see them hit the reset button on the Shield. We know they got a match here at Fastlane. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's good to see how kind of they built Monday Night Raw around the Shield reunion, how Philly played an important role in that with Roman Reigns. But you can noticeably see that Roman Reigns is much smaller than he was before he left.
Yeah, but that'll come back. That'll come back, though. He'll be fine.
Yeah, it definitely come back. He'll definitely be fine. But back to Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. Look, this right here, and we figure now it will close the show at WrestleMania. I don't see any man's match or any other match right now that has the potential to close the show at WrestleMania. This right here will close the show just because they are the hottest things in the wrestling business right now. I like how Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch brought some realism back into their match. Oh, if you didn't watch social media, you didn't look at social media over the weekend, you didn't look at Twitter, it was a verbal altercation between Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. And I love how the women are taking control of social media and making it real. So you're invested into this situation. And I think that made it easier for the WWE to turn Ronda heel based off what happened on Twitter. And I know we talk in our group chat. Do you think this is them or you think this is writers and them?
I think it's a little both. I'm sure if Champ Curry was on here, he'd argue it differently. I just, as bad as they are sometimes, creative is creative for a reason. I can't see them being this off script totally on their own. I can't see it. I refuse to believe it.
You know, but how come we'll talk about how come the women can get it and some of the men can't? You don't see the men as much on social media as the women are. You know, basically putting in work, working 24/7, living their gimmick, living their storyline every day, every single day, 24/7.
The thing is because of the direction of a lot of the guys, because there's so many ways that they can go with the guys, and there's so many guys on the roster, there's not really too much you can do. As opposed with the women, you're only working with a certain amount of women anyway. And the women, I think, can have a little bit more of that free reign with the things they can say. A lot of the women, their characters are more not characters, more in touch with who they are in reality. So their stuff comes off a little bit more authentic.
I give you that. You know what? I think more men use social media. I go back to Zack Ryder when he started using YouTube before anybody else started using YouTube. You know, in WWE, besides the Hardy Boys, because let's be honest, the Hardy Boys really revolutionized using social media when it comes to YouTube. I don't think they get as much credit as they should for that.
They should.
Yeah, you're definitely right. They should. They was one of the revolutionaries when it comes to social media and promoting their brand and who they are. And Zack Ryder took it to another level. The thing about it, when Zack Ryder did it, it helped him get a title shot. It helped Zack Ryder keep his name out there. As a matter of fact, Zack Ryder had a YouTube channel before WWE had a YouTube channel. Zack Ryder made it cool.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And for then WWE caught on to this YouTube thing, Zack Ryder was ahead of the curve. So, you know, and so which men were getting it, but I don't see too many other people embracing it. And that's my thing. I think it helps bring other fans in and help bring news media in and help bring you know, guys like us who talk about wrestling, podcasters in and radio guys who bring it in. I mean, with them being on social media all day, it brings a lot of eyes to the wrestling world and other fans who may not know what is going on. And I think if utilized correctly, WWE can really embrace that. I look like the, especially the men per se. I mean, think about it. AEW really was kind of built based off social media.
Yeah, I give you that.
You know, and how the fans embraced it and how everybody talked about it and how, you know, people went on this and it won't be done, it couldn't be done. And next thing you know, they selling out 10,000 seats in Chicago because of social media and because of, you know, it's just that cult following that base. And I think more men on the WWE roster or more people in general in wrestling would get behind the machine and get behind the social media aspect of it. They could bring, I know WWE shot down some people for YouTube. What was that? Mid-Card Mafia?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they shut them down because they didn't want that power to go out there. But nonetheless, that's one of the things, my pet peeves. I think this storyline has developed a lot on social media. I think Becky Lynch uses social media tremendously. She is an assassin when it comes to social media.
And she benefited a lot from being able to take that character to social media because, my opinion, I don't know if it would have had the legs, no pun intended. I don't know if it would have had the legs to stand on if she was purely doing all in arena stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think keeping the fire going, as my grandma said, keeping a little kindling on that fire, keeping the wood going when she goes off and go to social media. If you look at what she did a couple of weeks ago when she got arrested, you know, the picture as if she was at the police station. Now they got merchandise off of it, T-shirts. And so it became a lot of things that they can do now with social media. Even Rhonda the other night when she said, you know, when she talked about, you know, damn the man and kill the woo. And now she's a B, you know.
Yeah,
screw the woo. Next thing you know, within 2 or 3 hours, WWE's promoting a T-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Were those WWE T-shirts or were those her T-shirts?
I think they were her. My bad. It was her. She's promoting a T-shirt within a couple of hours. You know, promoting a T-shirt and making her own merch and own money. So it's just the power of social media right now in professional wrestling is helping it to bring in some older fans that left wrestling. Is helping to bring in the millennials, a younger audience who may not think wrestling is cool, and they see it all the time. So right now, I think WWE and as wrestling as a whole is doing a good job embracing social media, especially the women who have done it a lot. You know, the other big thing in wrestling right now, you know, I'm going to talk about it, and that's Samoa Joe winning his first title on the main roster of WWE. If you don't know, Samoa Joe defeated R-Truth on CN as well as Rey Mysterio on this past Tuesday night to become the new United States champion in a fatal four-way. I think it's great for Joe to have the United States title. I think it's overdue for him to have a belt. We wanted to see, you know, a lot of people wanted to see him to win the world title. But right now, you know, we know Joe can elevate any title that he has. When he was NXT champion, I thought the brand was at a highest point when Joe was NXT champion. But right now, being a U.S. champion, can Samoa Joe bring some relevancy and some excitement back to the U.S. title?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Gotta let him run with it, though.
I think he does run with it. I think he runs with it for a while. I think Joe is one of those guys that he will have this title. It gives him hopefully gives him a WrestleMania spot now if he stays healthy. You know, we hope he doesn't get injured or anything like that. Stay healthy into the WrestleMania run. And I think Samoa Joe would do well with the U.S. title. I think you have fresh opponents. You can have the Nakamura's. You can have the Rusev's. You can have, maybe the Randy Orton's. You can bring in Big E or somebody for the New Day to fight.
Here's the thing with that. I think they put it on him right before, which makes sense. They put it on him right before the shakeup. Because the shakeup will be in another month. Right after WrestleMania. That's where the fresh opponents will come in. Right now, he'll defend it against somebody on SmackDown right now, sure. But nothing's coming out of that. He's going to win that match. So, yeah, it's when the shakeup happens, that's when we'll kind of get some fresh opponents for him.
Yeah, and you may get another call-up or two. You never know. Within the way WWE's doing things, you know, call-ups now. You got Aleister Black in. Ricochet, who's, you know, don't know if they're going to be on Raw or SmackDown, but they're facing tag team champions on both, or what they're facing tag teams on both brands. And I like these two guys. I mean, sucks for Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa because Ciampa got hurt. I don't know if the brand knows what to do with Gargano now since he's by himself. I think he may just go back down.
There's stuff you can do with him.
Him and Daniel Bryan are the same person, in my opinion. I don't think that much you can do with him.
Well, let's segue into that, then, since we talked about it. With Ciampa going down with the neck injury right now, and a serious one at that.
But yeah, he's going to be out.
Reports are saying he's out for well over a year, so.
Yeah, I've seen reports 4 to 6 months. I've seen some a year, you know.
The ones I've seen is 6 at a minimum, and that's, like, excuse me, truly best-case scenario. Excuse me, but I've seen 14 months, so.
And it sucks for him because he was getting ready. He was hot.
He hit his niche at this point. That sucks. He really got cut off at the leg at this one.
He did. And to me, he was the biggest heel in the company. And that's including Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and he was getting ready to make his WrestleMania run, you know, main roster run. And then this happens.
That's where we got to talk because, honestly, I feel as though even though we had Ciampa and Gargano on the main roster, I think it was only Tommaso Ciampa that was going to end up coming up. I feel like, for some reason, this was leading to Johnny versus Tommaso, the final chapter. Like an NXT table, I think Johnny was gonna finally win the NXT championship. I really think that's where this was going. I don't think they were gonna stay together. I really don't. I think Johnny was gonna end up getting the belt. I think that, which is why when you mention what do they do with Johnny now, I think Johnny is gonna stay in NXT for a little longer, or was. I'm sorry. He was going to stay in NXT for a little longer because now that Ciampa is out on injury, as obvious as it sounds, either you're putting the NXT championship on Gargano or you're bringing Gargano up to the main roster. I don't think there's any in between.
No, I don't think there's in between. I think he's supposed to relinquish the title coming up on this NXT that's coming up. Don't know if they're going to have a tournament for it. I can see Adam Cole, maybe Velveteen Dream, if they had a tournament for it or a fatal four-way match, you look at those guys that could be involved. Johnny Gargano could be involved in that match. If Champ Creed was here, I would even say...
Uh-huh.
If Champ Creed was here, even throw your boy EC3 back down there. because he ain't doing anything on the main roster.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because when some of the few times that he's actually right, he's right now on EC3. The way they're booking him right now, it's like, bruh, like, what are y'all doing? Like, he's done nothing.
Straight goofball. All he did was beating Dean Ambrose on Monday Night Raw.
Right, and that's by default in a sense because we know Dean's leaving.
Allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly, you're right.
I won't say allegedly. I don't know. I just think in my heart of hearts, I think Roman coming back might have swayed Dean's decision.
I don't know because
I mean, they're really good friends in real life. Yeah, but they're friends in real life. And sometimes when your buddy leaves, it's not fun anymore. When your partner's not hanging around there anymore, you know, besides the business stuff, the character, the creative and the cash and all things like that, he didn't have creative. The Seth Rollins feud didn't go like they planned. It was a stink face, if most people would say it was, the match between two guys.
That's why it was rushed. Because, you know, with Roman leaving, unfortunately, it's pretty much like, okay, like we gotta hot shot this angle now. And, I mean, it is what it is. But at this point, I still think Dean leaving would do him well. I really do. He needs a restart. He needs a refresh.
Oh, I think he's doing well. I'm definitely doing well. I'm not saying he's an AEW guy, as people want to say. I think Dean would go over to Japan and do just as well if he did it with his AEW.
I think he could do it. The door is open for him to go wherever he wants, and the door is open for him to return to WWE whenever he wants.
Yeah, whenever he wants. As long as he doesn't go back to that death match stuff that he used to do at CZW. I think I think those days are gone for him, but I think Japan or AEW, whichever one he decides to go, TNA, I can't see him going to TNA, so I'm going to just say AEW to Japan.
But I mean, in that same vein, though, it's like, I also think he's leaving because he's done everything in WWE. He's done everything.
In a short time,
He's been world champion, U.S. champion, IC champion, tag champion. Like,
he's been on total Divas.
Yeah, he's been tag champion. Yeah. So he's done everything. So there's really nothing left. Like, at this point, he can go, and it's okay because it's not like he's leaving something on the table. He's done everything. And I think he sees the writing on the wall. I think he sees the writing on the wall that right now Seth is who they're running with.
Yeah, they're definitely running with Seth. I'd be interested to see how the Shield, quote unquote, plays a role in WrestleMania coming up.
The only other thing I can think of is that if Dean were to re-sign and just come back, they'd have to send one of them to SmackDown. They would have to break them up. They can't all three be on the same show.
No, I think Dean is the better one on SmackDown. SmackDown to me fits for Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Because you have a guy like Samoa Joe over there. Because you have a Randy Orton over there. I think his style of wrestling works better with Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, and those type of guys more so than the guys that are on Monday Night Raw.
Sure, sure.
You know, I think. If you had to move somebody, his character works well on there. He'll get some good matches. He'll be able to work like he wants to work, or, you know, that he's able to work instead of being on Monday Night Raw, where sometimes things rush and get pushed.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, speaking of SmackDown, we talked about Samoa Joe being the new United States champion. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens. About the promo that was cut on this past Tuesday night was a good promo. Also, the returning Mustafa Ali. And I wanted to ask you this, even when I saw it return on last night, Mustafa Ali, was where does Kofi Kingston go since Ali returned?
Here's my thing. I still think Kofi is the one held in the higher regard of the two. I still think Kofi ends up winning the championship. I still do. I don't know what it is. It just feels like they found something sparked, and you ride with the hot hand.
Definitely think you ride with the hot hand. I think we'll get a match between Kofi and Mustafa Ali somewhere leading into the Road to WrestleMania. If you face Daniel Bryan, I think, you know, just to see where it's at, I think it'll be a good match between those two guys. I think Kofi still gets the match at WrestleMania. To me, I think that'll be the hotter match. To throw Ali in there right now, I think really kills Kofi Kingston's steam and what he's built up in the last couple of weeks. So I think you have to go at this point. Since Vince removed him, I think you have to go Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania. You can't go anybody else. I think the fans really boycott, as they say, riot, be upset, whatever you want to call it, WrestleMania weekend if Kofi Kingston is not in a high-profile match. Well, I'll put it this way. If Kofi Kingston is not in the match with Daniel Bryan, I think you have a lot of fans that will be in New York City highly upset.
Well, I'll put it this way. If they insert a new face, a new somewhat non-established face in there to face Bryan and it's not Kofi Kingston, then the fans may hijack that match. I'll give you that. If they try to throw a Mustafa Ali or like a rematch with KO or something in there, like, they're going to hijack the match. I think Kofi has to be in the match. I honestly think you need to give Kofi the belt. I mean, at this point, I mean, for some reason, he's hot right now. So,
yeah,
I think you're out with that.
I really do. You have to give it. At that moment, at that stage, it kills a lot of noise in WWE there. It kills the quote-unquote, and I'll use quotation marks if you see my hand, of the black champion. It kills that noise. It kills the fact that New Day was a joke. As a matter of fact, it takes New Day to another level, in my opinion, if Kofi Kingston wins. I believe right now Kofi Kingston is a Hall of Famer anyway. People may want to debate that, but Kofi Kingston is a Hall of Famer without winning the WWE title. So I think by winning the WWE title, just solidifies who Kofi Kingston is. The boys in the back like him. The girls love him. Vince likes him. You know, so it's a lot of things that's going in Kofi Kingston's favor for him to become the WWE champion. And it won't hurt Daniel Bryan at all.
Nah, it won't. At this point, even if you give Kofi a short run, I think you just got to give it to him. I mean, like you mentioned, I think that's kind of the main thing. If I was WWE, I'd want to kill. It's that whole, not that it matters because they're a billion-dollar company and they're doing it regardless. But the whole, you know, there's never been a black champion stigma. You can kill all that with Kofi Kingston. Just one good time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put in, you know, in a shrewd way, even if you gave it to him for a week, you can't say they never gave somebody something. I mean, if I was them, I'd run with that. Even if you gave it to him for a week. I mean,
yeah.
that kills all that noise. It kills it. So, no, we'll see.
We'll definitely see. Triple H Batista got heated up a little bit this week. He ended up even more this week. When Triple H cut a great promo on Batista on Monday Night Raw, talking about Dave quits all the time. Triple H was really emotional, talking about the Ric Flair situation. I think, you know, people may not like this match. I think this match is going to be pretty good. I think we'll give you an old school feel type match, and I think that's needed for this card. And two guys that people can still relate to, Dave Bautista and Triple H. You know, I think it won't be like the match in Australia. It won't be slow. I think it'll be at a nice pace, nice clip, and people will get Bautista can actually wrestle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Of course he can. I mean, he definitely can. It's just a matter of how they do it, but it's going to happen. He's definitely going to have a good match with him.
I think it'll be one of those matches where we may see DX get involved if it doesn't go the way that most people wanted to go. I think it might. What's that match at 31 with Sting? We end up getting NWO versus DX. I think somewhere down the line that could be. I think that could happen too.
I'll give you that.
That you can get more people besides Hunter and Batista involved in this match. You know, let me get in there. But, you know, it's just fun time right now for a wrestling fan because it's our Super Bowl season. You know, we're on the road to WrestleMania, so it's a lot of speculation, a lot of things you can talk about, a lot of situations that's going on in the world of professional wrestling, whether it's WWE, whether it's AEW, whether it's StarCast, whether it's Ring of Honor. It is a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. But let's talk about what we came here to talk about, the Fastlane pay-per-view, which is coming up this weekend. I know we talked about it a lot, and we alluded to a lot of some of the matches, but let's give our predictions for this Fastlane pay-per-view that's coming up this Sunday night, 2019. Now, let's perform here. Let's start here, man. We're going to start with it. We talked about it earlier. We got Rey Mysterio taking on Andrade with Selena Vega here. This is another match between these two guys, which have not had a bad match yet since they started fighting each other on SmackDown. This match probably will be on, I can't see this one making the regular show. I'm going to say this one probably be on the pre-show. I know it's Rey Mysterio, but I know they want to get the crowd hot right here. Who do you have winning, Andrade or Rey Mysterio?
I mean, I like what they've been doing. I think I would rather see it if I knew it was leading to something. I just don't see it going anywhere for either one at the end of the day. So,
I totally agree. It is it's not going anywhere. I hope Andrade wins. I just want to see WWE push him a little bit. Maybe he'd be the guy against Joe. Or I just want to see, as you mentioned earlier, the shakeup, him going to Raw. I think it would be a good move for him for the shakeup. I think it would be better move, I guess when I get to that later, if Bobby Roode went back to SmackDown, because that's a whole different story. But I would love to see. I'd love to see Andrade with here. So who you got, even though it doesn't mean for anybody, doesn't do anything for anybody.
Say that again?
I said, who did you say? Which one?
Give me that one more time.
Oh, my bad.
Give me that one
more time. Who wins this match?
Probably Ray.
Hey, it's coming from Cleveland, so anything can happen in Cleveland. You know that. So,
yeah.
I'm going to call it. And let's go ahead to the Revival. Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson, taking on Aleister Black, Ricochet, Chad Gable, and Bobby Roode. This is the triple threat match for the WWE Raw Tag Team titles. If you watched this past Monday Night Raw, you see why this match was made. Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, who never really got an official rematch, got involved in the Aleister Black and the Revival's match, Aleister Black and Rick Shane's match against the Revival this past Monday night, causing a disqualification. So this match was set here to be a triple threat match for the Raw Tag Team titles. Who do you have winning?
Oh, Revival. You can't do them like this. Revival.
I'm going to say the Revival. I want to say Ricochet and Aleister Black, but I'm going to say the Revival just because you said it, and I think you can't treat them like this. They've lost. Since they won the title, I don't think they've won a match on television. But since winning the titles, they lost to Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano. They lost to Aleister Black. They lost to Black. You know, they just haven't really technically won a match since winning the titles on television, so I'm going to have to say the Revival needs a win here. They need to win and still remain Raw Tag Team Champions heading into WrestleMania. So they need to get the win here. I'm going to go to my bathroom break match because this is the Shield versus Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I call this my bathroom break match. It's because you already know the outcome. I don't have to watch this to know what's going to take place. Drew McIntyre, at one time, we thought Drew McIntyre would be the man, the hit, the chosen one, if I want to use that, at WrestleMania. And right now, it looks like he has no place whatsoever. Bobby Lashley, former Intercontinental Champion. Like, they just threw these guys together in just so they can take on the Shield.
Do we even have to give a prediction for this? You know the Shield's winning that match.
Yeah, we skip that. Shield's winning this one. The Shield wins hands down. Asuka taking on, well, Asuka taking on Mandy Rose for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. I believe Asuka wins this, but something tell me Mandy Rose picked up the win, but Asuka still remains champion.
Yeah, no, it's not as easy a go around, you know, for Asuka to, it's not going to be a squash like Asuka normally. Asuka is going to win this, but somewhere down the line coming up, Mandy Rose is going to get the women's championship. She's going to get it.
Yeah, I think she's going to get it. I think Sonya Deville and her will get somehow, some way, allow them to get it. I just don't think it'd be right now. I think it'd be too soon. I go against what I always say, you know, this past week on SmackDown, Asuka got the upper hand, and usually the person who gets the upper hand on the go-home show loses. I don't see that being the case here. I definitely don't see that being the case in this one. I think Asuka gets the win. I'm more interested to see who faces Asuka at WrestleMania. Right now, shaping it look like it will be a multi-person match for her SmackDown Women's Championship, because I can't see any one person. Unless it's Lacey Evans, unless somehow Alexa Bliss travels over to SmackDown, I don't see them having a one-on-one match for this title after this match right here, after Fastlane. I think Asuka will have multiple opponents at WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell where they're going right now. That title was really a mystery. I mean, after Mandy, you go Sonya. I mean, where do you go with that? So,
yeah, you have no place to go. And I think that's because they use Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Asuka have been the top players. You have Sasha.
This is another situation like Samoa Joe's with the U.S. Asuka's going to keep it because she's going to get fresh competition with the shakeup. So,
yeah, she'll get the fresh top. We'll finally see Lacey Evans wrestle. We'll probably see, like I said, Alexa Bliss move over. You see a lot of things with Asuka. One of the other ladies, whether it's Becky, most likely it'll be Becky on Monday Night Raw when she wins the title at WrestleMania, and then Charlotte will stay on SmackDown. I don't see them putting them all on the same show again.
Yeah, agree.
I think one of them have to switch over, move over. I think you got the Boston Hug Connection, Bayley and Sasha taking on Nia Jax and Tamina. Now, we're looking at this match, and this is the match. If there was one title to change his hands at this card, I think this would be the one right here. Nia Jax taking Tamina, taking on Bayley and Sasha Banks. Reason being that, you know, these two ladies could get a WrestleMania moment, which they win the title again. I think I would have let Bayley and Sasha Banks win the title at WrestleMania from Nia Jax and Tamina if there wasn't a Fastlane pay-per-view here in the middle. But I think Nia Jax and Tamina may actually pick up the win here. Because goes again to my point with Asuka, if Nia Jax and Tamina don't win and Sasha and Bayley picks up the win, who faces Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania for the tag title?
Well, the one good thing is that it's open to all three brands, so it could be anybody.
It could be anybody, but you're not going to throw Mandy and Sonya Deville over there. The Iconics, man, you're not going to do that. You're not going to throw them over here. You may get some NXT women who may want to go over there. But then again, is that the place where you introduce new NXT women at WrestleMania?
You could.
I mean, you have to build it up, but it'd be interesting to see. But I think Nia Jackson, Bayley, and Sasha Banks could do it one more time at WrestleMania, and wouldn't nobody be mad. So I'm gonna go here. Nia Jackson, Tamina gets the win. Upset.
Nah, I'm going Sasha and Bayley. Too much momentum right now, to me.
And then we move on to this one. Another tag team match here, coming from once again Cleveland, Ohio. The Quick and Lonesome Arena. You have the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, taking on The Miz and Shane McMahon here. The Miz looking to win the title in front of his daddy, Mr. Miz. In Cleveland, who do you have?
Oh, no, this is definitely going Usos. Because I see Shane McMahon fighting The Miz at WrestleMania, so I'm going to go with the Usos.
Yeah, we're going to Usos as well. I think Usos pick up the win here over Shane. I think The Miz messes up and loses the match again for Shane. And, you know, and there ensues the conflict between The Miz and Shane McMahon. Be interested to see if once the Usos retain the titles, where the Usos go here at WrestleMania. I mean, this might be a WrestleMania where you have a lot of multi-person matches for a lot of things, because there's a lot of people to get on the card. So a lot of people.
It is, but they'll have enough. They have enough time. They're on the network. They can do what they want.
They definitely can do what they work in. Well, when they do what they want, and we can be there for 6 to 7 hours enjoying nothing but wrestling, I won't be mad.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much how it is now.
Won't be mad at all. And you got Daniel Bryan here taking on Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship here. Daniel Bryan wins this match. I think people get involved, but Daniel Bryan wins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, there's nobody. Is it me or this pay-per-view is really predictable?
It is.
It goes back to the whole argument, though. Do they need the extra pay-per-view between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania? Well, not excuse me, the Royal, yeah.
You said, do we need it?
Yeah, I mean, can you go from January to March or April without having another pay-per-view? Can you rebuild it up?
Because the Royal Rumble is usually that second to last week in January. They used to do it where there was only one pay-per-view. But I think because you have the network and you have the revenue there to do it, I mean, yeah, they could do two pay-per-views. It's almost like this one means, what sucks is that the second one really means nothing. It's the Elimination Chamber one that's the one that people pay attention to. It's like Fastlane is really just another show. But if you can do a pay-per-view at that part, you know, ticket sales-wise, you know, you can hype that up a little bit because you're billing it as a pay-per-view. So I don't blame them.
Yeah, I'm not blaming, but I just think, you know, by this pay-per-view being so predictable, it's like you can deal without this one and build more time on the storylines, talk about after Elimination Chamber. He just built this one up some more, and then boom, we're here at WrestleMania. You know, just it totally exploded. You know, so that's the thing there. Before we get out of here, let's more things. We got to cover a couple more topics to cover. Torrey Wilson, you know, that's one of the bigger topics that people want to talk about this week. Torrey Wilson is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. She's been announced to be going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Your thoughts on Torrey Wilson? Is it deserved for her to be a WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, work for the company and they want to put you in it. Put you in. I mean, at this point, the Hall of Fame is going to be what it is, and they're going to put in who they want anyway. I mean, if there was a real system to it, it'd be different. But there's not, and this is common knowledge. That's why I kind of, you know, the only thing with people getting mad of who goes in, who doesn't go in, this is their system. They decide. This is common knowledge. We all know this going in. You can't get mad at something
that. And that's why I laugh at the company.
They don't blatantly. It's not like they're keeping this a secret, like, oh, is there a vote? No, they decide who they want to put in, whether there's an agenda of something being promoted, or, you know, you're in the good graces with the company, or the company can benefit somehow. I mean, at this point, who cares? I mean, honestly, to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Some people like, you know, this person should have went in and that person should be in. It's subjective to WWE. It's subjective to one man, the people who submit the names, and he say yes or no. You know, and that's where that. Now maybe when that man's gone, it may be how the way people wanted to vote. And it's not like writers voting on this. It's not like Major League Baseball. It's not like the NFL. It's not like the NBA where you have a whole bunch of writers and people going in there. You have people who actually work for Mr. McMahon who's making the decision on, and nominate a name. Okay, I think so-and-so should go in. I think Tori Wilson is justified to go in. I think when that time, during that time and during that era when it really wasn't highlight women wrestling, she was one of the bigger stars. That was it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she kept SmackDown on the mat, whether it was with her and Dawn Marie and the storyline with her father, whether it was her winning the women's title, whether it was her getting better at wrestling. She was there each and every week, and she put butts in seats. Matter of fact, I dare not say she put a lot of butts in seats, you know, during that time and during that era.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she was definitely a person at WWE. And, you know, kudos to her. Welcome to the WWE Hall of Fame, Tori Wilson. And I think people complain about it. Go back and look at some of the stuff and look at the time and the era that she was hot at that time. And she needed to be in it. She needed to be into the WWE Hall of Fame. Hey, my hat's off to her. Like you said, they put in who they want to put in. Maybe next year, Victoria. Maybe a Molly Holly. Maybe somebody of that character in that statue in the next couple of weeks or next year. But nonetheless, WWE Hall of Fame. You got it right now, DX, Honky Tonk Man, Tori Wilson. In your eyes, how is this Hall of Fame shaping up?
You said, do I think that she what?
I said, in your eyes, how is this Hall of Fame class right now shaping up? With those three names being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, how do you think the Hall of Fame is shaping up?
Well, man, it's shaping up okay. We're going to get others. You know, a lot of people, I mean, some of the Hall of Fame classes were just really stacked. So it's like, it's almost not even fair to compare. Like, even the 2013, the last time we were in New York, class was stacked. So, I mean, they've got a huge headliner in the entire DX going in. That's a huge headliner. So, I mean, hey, Honky Tonk Man is a big deal, too, to be honest.
Yes, he is.
You know? So, I mean, we're going to get other names. We'll get other names. I think it's too early to tell right now, honestly.
Yeah, I think you got big names, and I think Hall of Fame is shaping up. I'll be interested to see the other names that go in. Some names have been rumored out there. Taz has been one of those names that's been rumored out there to go into the WWE Hall of Fame this year, being in New York. You got names like Puffy being thrown in there for the entertainment wing. So you got a lot of time for him between WWE to solidify or even make this Hall of Fame class that much greater. So only time will tell. But right now, hey, Fastlane this weekend, hey, check it out. WWE's moving, making some big moves right now. Players, Shakers. Last thing we want to talk about this before we leave out of here, Arn Anderson's situation. Arn Anderson, you got to talk about Arn Anderson. You know, rumor came out, or the story came out, that reason Arn Anderson was fired is the fact that he allowed Alicia Fox to wrestle while she was intoxicated. Your thoughts on this one? Because I have a different opinion. I got a couple opinions.
I mean, if this is true, that this is the reason why, it is a little reckless, because she could have permanently injured somebody if she was that incapacitated by being, you know, intoxicated on job. Sound like Jesse Jackson or something. she was that intoxicated being on the job, and they allowed her to work. Yeah, that's a problem. I don't care if it was a house show, television. That's a dangerous situation. With that being said, it's almost like a double standard, in the sense of there's been cases where I'm sure a lot of the boys back in the day may have been under the influence of not necessarily alcohol, but under the influence of something, and they went out and performed. So it kind of sucks, but in the age that we're in now, and because alcohol is such, because alcohol is so prevalent, and it's so, I guess the knowledge or the information out there on how alcohol immediately affects you, it's just a bad situation all the way around.
Yeah, I think it's a bad situation all the way around. I think you made the point that I was going to make. She could have hurt somebody. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the biggest thing. I don't know any other job where they let you stay there drunk or intoxicated.
Right.
You know, or do your job. You're going home, you know. And I think that was the case. I know the Arn Anderson double A comes from a different day and era where they might have been able to do that back in the day. But I can't trust anybody that. And especially if she's in a ring with one of our women competitors who may be at a top level, I can't trust her going into the ring being intoxicated. I can't trust her being around the fans and doing that. We already know she has a history based off of last year's WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey's husband, Travis Brown, how we saw that she was intoxicated then. You know, so it's a lot of things that goes into that. Where, and then in this case, he gets fired and she gets maybe rehab, slap on the wrist, or whatever you want to call it. You can't really justify her firing her because the producer allowed her to work in that state. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see him. Hopefully, see Arn Anderson somewhere else down the road, maybe AEW or another job. I think he's a smart-minded person, and he has a good mind for the. He does have a great mind for the business, and I think he'll land on his feet. He might even end up back in the WWE. Let's see. Let's be honest. Finley ended up back in the WWE after his situation with the Miz in the United States flag. We saw JBL back in the WWE with his situation in the Nazi salute back in the WWE. We saw Chris Jericho when he took the Brazilian flag and stepped on it back in the WWE. So I reckon we'll see Arn Anderson back in the WWE here in the near future. Hey, but that does it for us tonight, man. Wizard, as always, is a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to us. You can always catch us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, as well as YouTube. Make sure you hit the bell. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, the bell notification. Also, make sure you leave us a 5-star review, whether it's on Google Play, whether it's on Stitcher, whether it's on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Hit the subscribe button once again so you'll never miss any of our shows. Hey, Wizard, always take us home.
Hey, if not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End the story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Shout out to Dr. D.